B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You know what, ladies and gentlemen? Leave it to Philadelphia fans to not be invited to any game, and yet they'll still have an impact on the game, and that's what was proven yesterday by Aaron Boone getting his panties in a tizzy, in a twist, whatever it was, and the Phillies come out with the victory. I'm convinced because the Phillies fans were able to get into the manager's head of the, and the pitcher's head for that matter, right there in South Philadelphia yesterday. Loved seeing that. And just as a special treat for you today, I thought it was just one guy. It turns out it's two guys that are going to be good doing the horns, right? And both of them will be on the program today.
The Fandemic crew.
So,
and that is Oscar and Brett.
There's been a drum line, and now there's the horn guys.
Yeah, I don't think they're going anywhere.
Are they related? Are they a related entity? Or are they just separate?
I don't know. I think it's gaining a following.
That, whatever it is, now that they have been acknowledged
and they're in the opposition's head.
Like, here's what's going to happen. We're going to call our friend Jackie Bam Bam. We're going to get his mummer friends, and we're going to have a socially distanced parade behind Citizens Bank Park.
Oh, that would be great.
I think that's what we need to do.
We need a string band and all the noise in the world.
Oh, no. Just air horns. Only air horns. That's what we need to do. None of this, you know, we don't need the instruments. Like, I could play the air horn, right? You know what? I'll get you. Jamie, you have the Jason Kelce mummer outfit thing, right?
I do.
It's totally different.
And I have a dog mask, so I'm already ready.
Look at this. You came prepared. You're like a Boy Scout is what you are. So just imagine this. Now that we know, because we got the Braves now, but the next time the Yankees are in town, because we're going to be seeing them quite a bit throughout this season, maybe what we should do is just have a nice little parade behind Citizens Bank Park.
I'm in.
I think we should do that. We'll organize it. We certainly have friends that we could get together here.
Get some Purell, some masks, some social distance, and we're good to go.
As far as I'm concerned, we're already doing it. That's what's going to happen. I loved seeing that because, like, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about Formula One event going on in Poland, wherever it was, and the fans literally rented. They called them cranes in the story. I'm assuming the Polish to English dictionary didn't properly translate it. They were lifts. They were like air lifts, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were on these things, and they basically rise out a riser.
Like a workhouse lift.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, like painters you would see on the side of the building.
Yeah,
yeah. So, or a guy up in the thing that preparing power lines. So basically what they did was they rented these things and they went outside the stadium with them and went over the stadium walls and just were watching from their lifts.
That's hilarious.
It begs the question, where do they go to the bathroom?
Yeah, my number one question is, how's the view?
Probably awesome.
Yeah.
I will say this, it does suck that they filled in the corners at the Lincoln Financial Field, so I don't know if we'll be able to do that with Eagles games.
Because
The last thing I want is people doing that on 95, trying to look over.
That seems dangerous.
I'm not championing that cause. I'm not supporting that, even a little bit. However, it was pretty awesome to just see Phillies fans have an effect on, like, literally had an effect on the game. The manager had to go out to the umpires and complain, and the umpire said, hey, man, our jurisdiction is inside the building. It's not outside the building. We're not the cops, basically. I love seeing that. I love seeing, hey, the good for the bullpen. They actually closed one out yesterday. The positive of the game for me was, A, the fans, B, the bullpen, C, Phil Gosselin, and then the worst thing I saw in that game, and I know
Reese Hoskins.
It might be nitpicky, but here's what really bothered me about the Phillies yesterday. And granted, I was watching the Flyers, and then I flipped over to...
they're fun.
They're awesome. Yeah. I really absolutely love watching this team play. But I'm watching the little Phillies team. Phil Gosselin comes up in the third inning, gets a pitch low and away, belts it in the gap, right? Did a couple runs score, just went with the pitch, right?
Yeah.
And even pulled it, basically. Reese Hoskins comes up in the fifth inning. Two strikes. Pitch in the same spot. Same pitch. Curveball. Low and away. He takes it with two strikes.
Mm-hmm.
And then turns around the umpire. Very close pitch. It wasn't drastically outside. Yeah. It wasn't like a great frame job by Sanchez or anything like that. And Reese Hoskins just watches it go by. And I'm like, this is exactly what we're talking about. This is a perfect example. Like, you don't even have to be aggressive.
Yeah,
you just have to
fight it off. Yeah,
drop a barrel on it and pop it in the first base seats. That's it. That's all you got to do.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
How many runs did they win by?
That'd be one.
So I don't remember Reese Hoskins walking and then JT Realmuto coming up and hitting a home run?
Yeah, that's why situationally on base percentages can be a good thing.
You know,
yeah.
If he doesn't walk in that situation, that's a tie game, folks.
Yeah, okay. From Quinn doesn't get picked off, they have a 2-run lead that they can protect.
Yeah, what was going to happen on the next pitch? What was going to happen on the next pitch? Reese Hoskins, if he fouls it away, what happens on the next pitch?
Look, Mark, I'm trying to convince
home
myself.
Home run.
Yeah,
no,
you're inspired by Reese.
Don't you sheeple. You're part of the sheeple.
I totally am. I'm a soy boy.
You're part of the on base percentage sheeple. That's what you are.
I'm a Philly soy boy.
Well, look, I know Reese Hoskins is better than the, sub 100 batting average he's at right now. I know he's better than that. I know there's a better hitter in there. It's a matter of mentality. And I don't want this swinging the bat thing. Like, imagine this. Two of the best quote-unquote stars we're supposed to have in Philadelphia. One is a basketball player that won't shoot. The other is a baseball player that won't swing. Imagine the world we're in right now in Philadelphia. How great is this? But anyway, Phillies did win yesterday. Good for them. But the dazzling of dazzling, and we'll continue that conversation about Reese Hoskins as the show goes on today. But what we will talk about today is the Philadelphia Flyers, because their game yesterday was a thing of beauty. The goal, their first goal of that game, I rewound it. I don't know how many times I watched it. It was a thing of beauty.
It was.
I even tweeted out, man, that was just gorgeous. Like, that was the only way to describe that. First off, the old butcher himself, Radko Gudas, turns that puck over.
Love it.
TK goes in front of the net, little behind the back pass, if you will, to a wide open Scott Laughton with a wide open net in front of him. He's behind the defender, literally was sitting there in front of the most open net you could possibly see. One of them slam dunk goals by the Flyers. So that was awesome.
I wonder what happened in the Cooney house when that happened.
Oh,
candles,
man.
Got lit, wine got poured, Barry White came on the stereo, Bob had himself a party.
Bob was like, Donna, I'm going to the bathtub. I'm going to watch the rest of this game in the bathtub.
Bring me my tablet and a bottle of wine.
it was gorgeous.
It really was. That was a pretty, pretty goal. Is the second line better than the first line?
It seems like it.
This second line, it might be the best second line I've seen.
Oh. What do you got?
It's up there, man.
I just marveled. It was, I marveled at what I
don't remember having a second line like this that you can rely on for pretty goal scoring hockey in a long, long time.
How about Kootz yesterday? Throwing his weight around a little bit.
He's awesome.
He's not like known for that. I mean, he's an all around player, ain't the question. But what I'm saying is,
was that Tom Wilson again?
I think so. Something. Yeah, well, Tom Wilson is a rat.
Doo-doo brains.
Yeah. Something was getting the wheel going in Sean Couturier.
Yeah, they're amped
yesterday.
Up. They're ready to play.
Yeah, they basically just want to annihilate the Washington Capitals.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
And, oh yeah, they're playing for the one seed on Saturday. How about that?
I am giddy. I am beyond gid right now when I watch the Flyers play. And then Sanheim's goal was nothing short of spectacular as well. He gets a pass down in front from Hayes fed him, I believe. And then you have Sanheim do a little dipsy-doo. Top, backhand, top shelf. It was a great game overall by the Flyers. Brian Elliott was good in goal.
He only had what, 18 shots against them?
Yeah.
The Flyers defense is, woo.
Yeah, it's something that you don't mess with right now.
Yeah, they're locked in.
It's nice to watch a team that is that laser focused. So, we'll talk some Flyers today as well with you. I know people were excited with that. Like I said, we have the Horn Boys. I guess they're joining us on the same line at 8 o'clock today.
Yeah, we'll call them both.
I want to have a little fun with them. We're going to do a little yay or nay with them, and hopefully they'll have their horns with them. Hopefully they don't live with other people that they can wake up, because I just want to basically ask them yes or no questions on basic like over unders, if you will, with the Phillies. Like, will Reese Hoskins hit over 35 home runs this year? Will JT Realmuto get signed? I want to ask them those questions, mm-hmm. And if they feel positive about it,
give them a honk.
Honk. A little of that. You know, just give me a little toot. That's
how many horns do they have, you think?
I don't know, but I also feel bad asking them to do it because I know those things can run out of air. But to hell with it. It's a good radio bit, so we're going to do it.
Should we, like, start a donation for them? Like an air horn donation?
GoFundMe?
Yeah. Should we fund their air horns for the year?
I believe
it's a charitable effort by us.
Well, are they undefeated when the air horns go off?
I think so.
Well, I think that's the only thing we could do then.
Yeah.
All right. So
we need the Drumline Elmo out there, too. Let's make it a party.
I need that. Yeah. So we'll have all that. We'll try to get that done with them at 8 o'clock today. 9 o'clock today. I haven't talked to this man. I don't know. Whatever it's been, it's been way too long.
Perfect Friday, I guess.
Steve Coates.
Yeah, he's the best.
If you were to say, name a broadcaster in Philadelphia that is Friday, that's Steve Coates. You know what I mean? Like he's Steve Coates is a Friday feel. That's what Coates is. So we'll talk to him. We'll ask him questions about hockey. We'll ask him questions about Chick-fil-A and whether or not he's ever had it. Because that was the whole thing.
From one.
Oh, come on.
Sorry. It's Chick-fil-A.
But we'll have that cut a little bit later. But here's one of the things we're really going to get into today, folks. And I know this is a very hot button issue in the Philadelphia sports scene for years. And that's Brett Brown's job status. And yesterday, Ben Simmons, his knee injury was examined a little closer. It's more serious than I guess people were anticipating. We don't know how long he's going to be out. But listening to Brett Brown talk about it yesterday, it does not appear to be positive. I don't know if he's going to... I heard the phrase trying to avoid a season-ending surgery. So right away, you know that's on the table.
So my cousin has had this exact thing happen a couple of times.
Okay.
And I've talked to him.
Okay.
He doesn't think it's that bad.
Laxation?
Yeah.
Okay.
And by that bad, he thinks 3 weeks. It's like 2-3 weeks for a professional athlete.
Okay.
Apparently the average person, they say, you know, anywhere from 4 to 6 weeks, something in there.
Uh-huh.
A freak of nature like Ben Simmons physically. Maybe. Patrick Mahomes had the same thing, missed 2 games this year.
Uh-huh.
But again, they're playing once a week. Ben Simmons is a basketball player that probably bounces on the knees a little bit more because they're jumping so much. And they play more games than one a week.
Yeah.
So I'm not very optimistic, Mark.
Yeah, I don't feel good. I was optimistic because I remember the term being used with Mahomes,
mm-hmm.
but then I saw that Brett Brown fella
mm-hmm.
talk yesterday.
He looked like somebody kicked his puppy.
That's a good way to put it. He didn't look too optimistic about it, and he said, "You know, we definitely need him." And usually, a coach won't acknowledge that, but I guess everyone knows that that's a lie if he says anything otherwise.
They don't have any guards,
and when he says that this one stings. It's not like, oh, yeah, a game or two and he'll be back.
Yeah.
Like, we'll get to play him a couple of times before the playoffs actually start.
This has got first-round exit written all over it.
Well, here's...
Even maybe prior to the injury, but definitely with the injury. Oh, yeah, they're done.
Here's what we had yesterday. We had I hate even calling him a wet blanket, but that's what it was. Jeff Van Gundy on with us.
Not wet. Reality.
But here's the thing. I don't agree with him about Ben Simmons. I think Ben Simmons is a mid-range game away from being an MVP candidate.
It's possible.
Yeah.
I see where he's coming from. If Ben Simmons is just an all-star for 10 years, are you cool with that?
No, I'm not. I really am not.
But that could be him.
It absolutely could be. I'm not ignoring that.
Yeah.
But I'm not okay with it. If somebody comes in the league at that talent level and then doesn't do much to get past that, like, come on.
Yeah,
like,
you shouldn't peak in your first 2 years.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes,
exactly.
You should not.
So Jeff Van Gundy was on with us, and then we get the news about Ben Simmons. So the hot button issue that falls in here is a very simple one, is will this save Brett Brown's job?
No.
I certainly hope not.
And I don't believe so.
And it should not. And you have 7 years in one place. You didn't look like you were ever reaching the full potential of what this team was. We continue to see the same problems with this team. For the people that are all about removing Brett Brown from the 76ers head coaching position, I don't think this will deter the Sixers from from the decision to do that. The only thing, as we've talked about before, and I know Keith Pompey, when we had him on months ago, was the first person to bring this up. The only thing that will deter the 76ers from moving on from Brett Brown will be the idea that he's got one more year left in his contract and they don't want to pay another head coach.
Yeah. They're approaching the luxury area, so do you want to pay the guy out on top of it if you're trying to change it? Like, look, they have to really look at this roster in the abbreviated month and a half off season or whatever it is, 2 months, and make some tough decisions, make a lot of calls, see if there's flexibility they can acquire. Like, they got a lot to do. Changing a coach on top of it, that's a busy 8 weeks.
Well, if you're Elton Brand and you really do have basically end-all, be-all power, let's just assume for a second, because Josh Harris, if he's shown anything, it's basically been, hey, GM, you do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Or, hey, commissioner, you do your thing.
Yeah. Adam, hey, give me a GM.
You do my thing for me?
Yeah.
Is that how that has worked in the past? But if you're Elton Brand, you got to look at this like, wait a minute, I got this team. I got these pieces of this puzzle, and this guy is just kind of just throwing them on the board and saying, hey, look, they fit. I'm like, that's not, that isn't how it's worked at all. When they do play bully ball, they seem to play pretty damn well. They seem to do well. When they use their size, they seem to win basketball games. When they try the outside shooting, you know, three-point shot stuff, that's when it seems like they lose basketball games. In the rare occasion that they make 48% of them like they did against the Bucks on Christmas Day. But this team seems to just have success when they use their biggest strength, which is their size. Brett seems to want to get away from that. And that's something that if you're Elton Brand, hey, man, I just spent a lot of the owner's money getting these pieces. This isn't how they fit together. How does that work? When you have a coach that seems like he's ignored the plan of the roster being constructed or while it's being constructed, that's not a vote of confidence. That's not something that you say, oh, hey, look, this guy, I got this team. I fielded this team. This guy coached him this way. And that's not leading to wins. How do you forgive that?
It's unforgivable because it goes two ways. Either you have a say in the players and the style that you want to play and you get them, and they did the opposite of that, or you adjust your game plan to the roster that you do have to play their style of game, not the style you want to play, and they didn't do that. So they botched it from both possible directions.
I do not believe that the subluxation, luxation, will
that sounds
stay.
More that's when vacation-y.
It's actually, you know what it is? It's when milk oozes from your knee.
Bag of milk. Sorry. Bag of 2%.
It's whole. Whole milk. But anyway, it seems like I don't believe that this will be something that is a Brett Brown saving injury. Oh, well, he didn't have one of his all-stars, so he's not going to win. Yeah, did he have his other all-star? Did he have Joel Embiid?
Yeah.
Did he have...
Did it look like they were going to win prior to the injury?
Exactly. Did it look like even before shutdown they were going to win anything? Yeah. No, it really didn't.
Yeah, I think the groundswell will be too much to ignore for the team. I don't think they can do it again because people are really starting to question if this process is just a complete failure. Like there's a tide that's close to shifting, and if they go out in the first round this year and regressed, yeah, it's going to shift.
The process, make no mistake about it, as far as I'm concerned, this is how I felt, and I've been told this is just a terrible take. The process to this point has been a failure. Whether or not overall it'll be a failure is still undetermined.
Yeah.
But have you gotten past the highest point you were at since before the process?
No.
No, you haven't. A game 7 in the second round of the playoffs.
I mean, the process in theory is supposed to last you at least like a decade. You know, it's supposed to bear fruits for 7 to 10 years, and you're pretty locked into what you got now. So to drastically change it.
So here's the thing, though. I know you can't look at this team and say that this team has less potential than the team from 7 years ago. Like the team that lost in game 7 to the Celtics with Doug Collins, then let's face it, that team got lucky.
Noah, exactly.
Andre Iguodala going to the line making both free throws.
Yeah.
Like that team was, you know, that they overachieved.
Yeah.
This team has a lot more potential than that team from 7 years ago. It's not even
by
a question.
Far, yeah.
But to this point, if you have to label pass or fail, the process has failed. However, you still have that potential for a great, you know, greater achievement. And I don't think they're going to meet that potential for greater achievement until they have another head coach.
You see it in sports all the time. I mean, the Warriors and Mark Jackson were a perfect example of it. Elaine Vigneault, it could be an example of that. Mm. You know, it's a commonplace thing in sports that sometimes the new guy can come in with the pieces exist and see things differently and change things. And it appears the Sixers are at that fork in the road.
Right now, the process has failed. The thought process behind the process has not failed. Like, I think the thought process of going into it is sound.
The process within the process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still agree with the idea of the process, and you still have two pieces that, you know, it's undetermined what they'll ultimately be, but...
But, I mean...
The process, yeah, itself is kind of a failure.
But when, as you said, when you haven't gotten past the second round, how do you call that a success? I mean, I'm a millennial. I'm supposed to be Mr. Participation Trophy.
Yes.
We shouldn't be the one sitting here going, getting to the second round and a 4-bounce miss is a success. It's not.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you're talking about changing coaches, the other name to bring up is obviously Dwayne Casey and Nick Nurse.
Like, yeah. That's another example. Perfect.
You fire the coach of the year in Toronto, and then you hire this other guy. Who? Who's this guy that looks like the adult version of the kid from Jerry Maguire? Like this guy, you bring him in, next thing you know, you win a championship. Now, the other part is that you also traded for Kawhi Leonard, which turned out to work out pretty well.
That was a good move.
But here's what Nick Nurse has that Brett Brown doesn't have. One of his star players coming to him saying, I need to shoot. I'm going to work on that. How do I incorporate this?
Yeah, Siakam's incredible.
And that's what Pascal Siakam did. I don't see Ben Simmons doing that. So the reason we're bringing all this up right now is because there's another injury to the 76ers. And I stand by my statement from before. No way will the shutdown save Brett Brown's job. In no way should this subluxation of Ben Simmons' left knee save Brett Brown's job. I don't see the Sixers doing... Like, I was questioning whether or not they'd even make it out of the first round. Without Ben Simmons, I don't see them making it out of the first round.
No, either do I.
And hopefully, we're over-evaluating this injury, and we're thinking, you know what, so he misses a week or two. Fine. Hopefully, that's all that it is. Hopefully, he is back by the playoffs. But I know when people hear of an injury to either Joel Embiid or to Ben Simmons at this point in Brett Brown's tenure, they look at Brett Brown and they go, oh, well, here we go. This will save Brett's job. I don't think that'll be the case. The only way Brett's job gets saved is if the Sixers don't want to spend the money on another head coach when they still have to pay Brett Brown for another year. That's the only thing I think will save his job. All right, so we'll continue that conversation throughout the day today. Like I said, 8 o'clock, we'll have our horn guys. Horn boys? The guys all horned up?
Mm-hmm. They're horned up.
They're horned up. And then we'll have Coatsy, which is, I'm sure he's going to be horned up as well with all the goals scored yesterday. and then we're also going to have...
I remember because I drink.
And then at 9:30 today, my good friend, Derek Gunn, is going to join the program. When I tell you that Derek Gunn is a Renaissance man, when I tell you that Derek Gunn is one of the most fascinating people I know, all that will come out at 9:30 today. And we're gonna have that conversation.
Can we finally get some of his barbecue I've heard so much about?
Here's the thing. I think he's a liar about that. Okay. I don't think that's actually him barbecuing.
You think it's stock photos?
I think it's stock photos, and I think it's really good editing. Yep, I'm going to say it's really good editing.
Wow, those are big accusations.
And we're also going to talk about...
it's an unsolved mystery, someone said.
We're also going to talk about Derek Gunn's brother, who is an entertainer.
Tommy Gunn?
What the hell is that? The machine. Derek Gunn's brother is like an entertainer, and he's a singer impersonator in Vegas.
No way.
So I don't know what Derek Gunn is going to do next.
Does Derek have any of those skills?
Oh, Derek's got soul. Oh, yeah.
Can he do an impersonate?
It's possible.
In there?
It's possible.
I know you watch Parks and Rec.
Yes.
I could totally see Derek Gunn being Duke Silver.
Yeah, he could. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Having some alter ego where he plays a saxophone at night in a club.
Absolutely.
I wouldn't be surprised even a little
bit. Maybe even a Yaz flute.
Derek Gunn will join us today at 9:30. I can't wait to talk to that man. And have you seen the people that have acknowledged him?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Giving him a shout out?
It's pretty cool.
DJ Jazzy Jeff? All right, did that recently?
Yeah.
The Brian Dawkins.
That was How about that was from the heart from B Dog. Wow.
And then obviously Lane Johnson has reached out, and
I saw Trent Cole
and one of his besties, the greatest post game interview in the history of post game interviews.
Thank you, 97.5.
Him and Brandon Graham. All right, so when we come back, though, we'll jump a little bit more into the Phillies and the 76ers. We'll let you hear from Aaron Boone being annoyed at Phillies fans. Again, I can't say it enough this morning. Leave it to Phillies fans in a season that they're not invited to, still have an impact on the game. What a great thing. Time with the Fanatic, 6:23.
Farsetta in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
8 o'clock today, the horn guys. Not the pentatonics, the fanatonics, what are we calling them?
The Fandemic crew.
The Fandemic crew.
Those guys are awesome.
Subluxation Fandemic. Fandemic?
Yeah, words of the day. And sexy goals. Scotty Lotz.
All right, we're going to ask them a question. We're going to ask them, we're basically going to play true or false with the horn guys.
Cool.
All horned up. Will the Phillies will re-sign JT Realmuto. Hopefully we get a nice little honk there.
Do you think they have it on them at all times, though?
I don't see how they don't.
Just like on the holster?
Yeah, I think they have.
Emergency purposes only.
Yeah. Like the guy who wore his, like the guy who wears his Letterman jacket from high school and freshman year in college. Yeah. Like, well, you see, I was, this is, anyway. Reese Hoskins.
Was that you?
I didn't have a Letterman jacket. What's his name? Reese Hoskins will bat over 270.
No.
Silence.
Yeah.
Phillies will make the playoffs. Probably silence. I'll ask more positive questions so we get
53%
more
of the league's making the playoffs. Like, I would hope. I would hope.
Hey, I'll tell you what. You just have Hector Neris pitch out of the bullpen. You're fine.
He looked great last night, man. That first at bat versus Judge with the tying run on third.
Go fishing, son.
And he just grabbed his marbles and went right at him.
Two back-to-back fastballs lead it off. One, like, right over the middle of the plate.
The first one, I think Tom McCarthy was like, yeah, Aaron Judge was surprised by that one. He didn't think he was getting a first-pitch fastball right down the middle.
That's the equivalent to when Tim Robbins hits the bull in Bull Durham.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know where this next pitch is going. This guy's crazy. He's coming right after me with fastballs. This guy's nuts. He ended up making Aaron Judge just go flailing at a splitter out of the zone.
Yeah, he looked good.
Gorgeous. So just beautiful. And here's the other thing. Okay, I'm happy that Hector Neris helped them win yesterday, and that's great.
His saves are always terrifying, though. There's always a runner in scoring position.
And I know it's not the same thing, but it did get under my skin a little bit that he threw one pitch in game one of the doubleheader.
Yeah, I know.
And then couldn't pitch. What, 4 hours, 5 hours later?
Did you see the quote from Girardi about Nola and this kind of thing in game that they put up?
No, I don't know.
I have to protect guys from themselves. It's something I take near and dear to my heart. As the manager, you know, I have to save these guys from themselves. And I was like, yeah, not what I want to hear, Joe. Not what I want to hear.
I'm telling you right now, I know he's won a World Series. He won it against us. We know that.
Yeah.
If it was Gabe Kapler making these moves. And first off, he won with the Yankees, so it more impresses me when a guy like Joe Maddon wins with the Tampa Bay Rays in the AL East than it does a guy winning with the Yankees. I think that goes without saying. Mm-hmm. So whatever. But anyway, that's not to say I don't.
Yeah, I like Joe Girardi.
I'm giving him the season. Yeah, right? Yeah. I'm not saying he should be fired or anything stupid like that. I'm just simply saying I have questionable moves.
Yeah.
But the thing is, yesterday, you're watching the game and you're watching Hector Neris and you're going, oh, wow, Neris comes into the game maybe last night. Maybe you win that game, even though he threw one pitch.
And then you take three or four from the Yankees. And now you're cooking with gas.
How about that? Those are stealing wins as far as I'm concerned from a team you should lose against. But it doesn't really matter because you can give those wins back when you face the Marlins anyway. So I'll go over some other things with our horn guys. One of them will be whether or not the Phillies will make the playoffs.
Yeah, and they announced the Marlins makeup games. There's a stretch there over 5 days where they're playing seven games.
Oh, my God. I mean, that if
you knew something like that was coming, but wow.
If you're going benefit of the doubt with Joe Girardi, you're thinking, hey, there's going to be games now with this stretch where I'm going to need pitchers. Like, at some point.
Yeah,
like,
I'm sure that's in his thinking.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It does still bother me, though. You got exactly what you wanted, at least from your starting pitchers in both games.
Yeah.
And by the way, Ryan Spader, Aces Spader, mm-hmm. who has great stats. If you're a baseball fan, you don't follow this guy on Twitter. Dude, follow this guy on Twitter. He had a great stat about Satchel
Paige.
He's
a local guy, too.
Yeah. I met his sister, ironically. Huh. 68 years ago, well, it had to be longer than that, actually. Satchel Paige we're talking about. Satchel Paige pitched 12 innings.
Wow.
68 years ago yesterday. And I was thinking, wow, Aaron Nola got pulled after 88 pitches in six innings of a seven-inning game.
Yeah, so if Aaron Nola had pitched 12 innings the other night, he would have had 24 strikeouts.
Satchel Paige is one of my favorite baseball, like, people.
Oh, ever.
I mean, he's a great name.
Oh, it really is.
He's such a G.
What was his real name? Leroy?
Leroy.
Leroy, yeah.
Because he used to carry luggage.
We just talked about Satchel Paige.
We talked about it. But there's a story of him in the Negro Leagues where he was getting razzed by the other team, and it was bases were loaded, two outs. He told the outfield to sit down. And then proceeded to strike out the guy and walked off the mound.
That's peacocking right there.
If you've never seen the movie For the Love of the... Not For the Love of the Game.
Kevin Costner?
Soul of the Game. It's the story of the Negro Leagues and, like, Josh Gibson, Satchel Paige, Jackie Robinson, and a bunch of other guys. It's an awesome, awesome movie.
Yeah, check that out.
I think it was an HBO movie. It's just an incredible movie. They cover a lot of the great stories, including the one you just mentioned, where Satchel Paige just is like, hey, guys, sit down.
Oh, I got this.
I think he was facing Josh Gibson. I think Josh Gibson, one of the occasions it happened, Josh Gibson hit a home run. And then Satchel Paige, in the movie at least, runs around the bases with Josh Gibson. But anyway, Aaron Nola, Hector Neris, I would have loved to see him come out and pitch game two of that doubleheader. Didn't happen, but he comes out last night, gets the four-out save. So that's a little abnormal for pitchers these days, but nonetheless comes in there and takes care of business, including handling Aaron Judge like we just talked about. But for me, after watching the play on the field, and that's nice. The thing for me that I absolutely love seeing was early in this ball game, maybe third or fourth inning, you start hearing like you start hearing this like air horn, like fog horn going on in the back, and you're like, what is that? And then you realize it's not a figment of your imagination, because Aaron Boone, Yankees manager, later comes out and addresses it with the umpires. Here's Tom McCarthy on NBC Sports Philadelphia doing the play-by-play of Aaron Boone doing a little arguing over why can't the umpires silence the fans?
They're calling themselves the Fandemic Crew, and there's a horn that they've been blowing over the last few games. Well, really, since the Marlins game. They've been loud. They've been energetic. They had a drum line out there, too. And Aaron Boone was taking exception to that horn being blown.
I don't know what could possibly be done about it.
They're
outside the ballpark.
Now, I've heard of, I've never seen it in an actual like pro game, but I know it's happened in like high school level, like little, like low level, where umpires have forced fans to leave.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Like you're disrupting the game, you have to leave. Yeah, like that kind of thing.
That was me.
You were disrupting
in
the game?
In high school, yeah, I got kicked out of the game.
What'd you do?
I honestly don't remember. I don't. I know. Oh, I remember it was against Conwell Egan. Yeah. And our fan group
started the home
chanting,
of Steve Slayton.
And our fans group started chanting, "We want Egan." And then they realized, oh, we're playing Conwell. That doesn't sound right. I gave a wave to the crowd and I left.
Nice job. Very nice. If you don't remember it, it kind of lets me know the state you were in. Like our friend Keith yesterday that joined us, I believe it was.
Oh, no, Mark.
Oh, it was Kevin. I'm sorry. It was Kevin.
Makes it worse. I was sober.
Good point. That's Tom McCarthy basically letting you know what happened. And then here's Aaron Boone after the game talking about what his conversation was like with the umpires about the fans.
It sounded like a horn was going off as the pitch, in the environment we're in, it's almost like a golf environment where that sudden thing can. So I thought there was a timing element to it, maybe, that obviously I didn't necessarily think they would be able to do anything about it. I didn't necessarily know who or where it was coming from, but it is something that I at least wanted to point out.
Now, hold on a second. Was that did somebody horn his interview? Did somebody horn Aaron Boone's interview? It sounded like a little horn was in the background.
I thought I heard it.
Let's hear it again.
It sounded like a horn was going off as the pitch, in the environment we're in, it's almost like a golf environment where that sudden thing can. So I thought there was a timing element to it, maybe, that obviously I didn't necessarily think they would be able to do anything about it. I didn't necessarily know who or where it was coming from. That's but it is something that I at least wanted to.
Feedback or B-roll or something.
I don't think so, because he's doing this interview
in the press box.
Did
the Fandemics go downstairs and did they actually find their way in the stadium and just start?
If you're outside the stadium still and you're hitting it, that thing's loud. You can faintly.
The
hear
only
it.
Way it would work is if they were in the open air press box, like if he's in the locker room doing the Zoom hits.
But this
he's
is
not,
why
I would almost be positive he's not in the.
This
press
is why
box.
We're having these guys on at 8 o'clock, so we can ask the tough questions,
right?
Because if they horned his post game interview. Their legend status.
See, this is the thing. This is the story.
Statue in life.
This is the story I want and need in my life.
Yeah.
I knew Eagles fans would do whatever it took to get into a game for the Eagles. Like, I knew if it meant signing a waiver, they'd sign a waiver, whatever. But Phillies fans arriving outside the stadium where they can barely see the play on the field with an air horn to try to get involved in the game and influence the game, that's the story I love and need in my life.
Yeah.
Like, there is no greater Philly story than, hey, fans, don't come to the game, and then they come to the game. They find a way to do it, which is safe, and I saw people out there wearing the masks and all that.
And these guys had their masks on.
Yeah, these guys aren't messing around. I love this story.
They had an inflatable Fanatic with them. And Aaron Boone.
Once again, for emergency purposes only.
Yeah, naturally. Yeah,
Aaron Boone, he's an Eagles fan. He grew up here. He knows what we're all about. Like, come on, dude.
What I love is his guys are effing savages in that box.
Yeah, like, come on, man.
I think it could have been in the stadium.
I love the golf analogy, too. I mean, how many times have you made the argument of golf, the ball just sits there, baseball, you're screaming and yelling, and the ball's coming at you 95 miles an hour, and he flips it. Uh-huh. He goes, no, now we're in a golf environment.
Yeah, right. Now it's a gentleman's game all of a sudden.
Yeah.
That's a gentleman's game all of a sudden. Here else. But yeah, Aaron Boone, are you even Philly, bro? Come on.
You sure you're an Eagles fan?
He's a soft Eagles fan is what he is. So this was the other thing. I don't know if Jordan Montgomery, who was the Yankees starting pitcher yesterday, I don't know if he really knew what was happening. And just as an aside, Have you ever seen a guy with a more lefty hat than Jordan Montgomery? Did you see this? Like, I looked at him, and I was like, oh, that's right, he's a lefty, before I even, like, saw him throw.
Was he wearing it sideways a little bit?
He's all lefties have that really weird bill because they pull on it weird. They pull on their hat weird. But anyway, he's got the thing. He goes out there, and he starts. And here is him. He was asked about the fans after the game, and he said he didn't think the fans were the issue. He thought announcers were the issue. Take a listen.
Hey, Jordan, did the fans outside the ballpark yelling and screaming, did they get your attention?
No. The drum line yesterday was crazy, but I mean, I heard them, but it's no different than fans in the stands. I mean, I heard yesterday that their announcers were being really loud mid pitch during Jay and other guys' pitches and not doing the same for their team. So, I mean, it's kind of messed up that they're out there, but it is what it is.
Well, it's kind of messed up. The announcers are there. What are you talking about?
I don't know what he's talking about. I don't get it. Like, yeah,
I don't think he meant the announcer. I think he meant the fans outside. I think he accidentally said announcers, but I think he meant the fans outside.
But he said it twice.
Yeah, I think he meant announcers.
I think he thinks Tom McCarthy is taunting him from the booth.
Yeah.
I think he thinks Tom McCarthy and Ben Davis are, like, being extra loud just to get into his head.
Yeah, the guy who called a hoagie a sub yesterday, he's trying to get in his head. Absolutely, that makes sense.
Wait, who said that?
T-Man.
Oh, you didn't hear it?
Oh, he went sub?
Apparently Central Jersey.
Oh.
So yeah, the line,
he knows enough.
The line gets blurred, I guess, up there. When the Dunkin' Donuts cups start turning into Giants cups instead of Eagles cups, I think is where it becomes sub-hoagie.
That's a good point.
Divided territory.
I felt bad for him because as soon as I heard him say it, they were talking about Ben Davis bringing in a hoagie, I think, for Jim Salisbury. And as soon as Tom McCarthy said sub, Ben Davis jumps all over him.
Oh, he went like, full Delco,
oh, God.
Didn't he?
Yeah, yeah, he did. And I was gonna, his mentions are going to be rough. just don't open Twitter. And sure enough, everyone's like, this guy, he's a fraud.
Delco.
I'm like, relax, it's a sandwich.
Delco bringing that up here.
Hey, hoagies are very serious,
Pat. We don't mess around with our hoagies.
I had a phenomenal hoagie yesterday.
I never had a hoagie. I've had a Primo.
I had this conversation with my aunt and parents down the shore. Would you consider, because my wife said something like, oh, yeah, well, we eat a lot of hoagies. And right. I was like, I mean, maybe like one a week? And my aunt was like, that's a lot of hoagies. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
I was like, what? No, that's not a lot of hoagies. Is that a lot of hoagies?
That's a lot of hoagies.
One a week is a lot of hoagies?
I think so.
Really?
I maybe have 5 hoagies a year.
Oh, you're a freak.
Yeah, you're Mr. Like, I haven't had fast food since the Reagan administration. Like, you brag about it as if it's a good thing.
I broke the other day. I had fast food for the first time in, like, a year and a half.
What'd you have?
I had the thing, for, like, a quarter pounder.
There you go. McDonald's?
Yeah, I was starving. It was right there. Boom.
Hey, if you drop my name, see what happens.
you're my McDonald's guy.
One hoagie a week is a lot. Like, it.
Yeah, well, like, for how many cheesesteaks a year do you eat?
8 to 10.
Real okay. I'm probably around 5. Yeah, I'm probably around
maybe
5.
Maybe 6 to 8, something okay. Like that.
Yeah, but
not a lot.
And I guarantee you, at least 5 of those are drunk.
Yeah, there's a good chance of that.
That's like I've said before. Philadelphia's the greatest city in the world for drunk food.
Yeah,
I will say that.
Man, one hoagie a week is a lot, huh?
But I love this story where Philadelphia fans impact a game that they're not at. like that is the ultimate Philadelphia fan story. Like, please.
So how do we get somebody to the bubble in Toronto? Can we get somebody outside?
Maybe we'll send the bubble boys down.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know the bubble boys. Maybe we'll send the guys down there. The Fandemics, whatever. We'll send them down to Orlando just to stand outside the wide world of sports and air that horn, baby. Yeah. Maybe that's what we'll do. But that was great. You know what? Maybe we'll send them to the bubble in Toronto. Actually, we won't. You know why? Because the Flyers don't need them.
Yeah, the Flyers don't need them.
I don't want to.
Sixers need them.
I don't want to mess with that energy that the Flyers have going on right now. Because I mean, really, in all honesty, I am ridiculously flyered up.
Yeah.
And when we talked to Claude Giroux 2 days ago, like we asked him point blank, "Do you feel the energy? Like, do you feel the excitement?" And he's like, "Oh yeah, absolutely." Like you know how big the Flyers fans are here in Philadelphia. You know how passionate the Flyers fans are here in Philadelphia. There's no way they don't feel that vibe. And I'll also say this. The Flyers social media account, they're all over it. And their PR staff is all over it as well. These guys, they might be lounging around in the hotel lounge watching golf and betting on golf like Claude told us and all that. But you got to know that they feel that energy all the way up there. Because like yesterday, they even had Lauren Hart sing the national anthem for them, and O Canada as well,
yeah,
for a Flyers home game, more or less. Like, they get that vibe, because when this city gets flyered up, it's all orange and black, baby. I absolutely love it. And seeing the goals they scored yesterday, seeing their defense yesterday, seeing Sean Couturier, Coots throw his weight around a little bit, They are excited for the defending defending champions, the Stanley Cup champion, Washington Capitals. They were all over them yesterday. The Capitals didn't have a chance. They outskated them yesterday. They out-hustled them yesterday. They were getting out-hit early in the game. I remember they flashed it up on the screen. It was like 8-0 in favor of the Capitals in terms of hits. But the Flyers never felt like they were off the puck. It felt like they were making mistakes happen, i.e. Ratko Gudas, who turned it over for the first goal. Mm. And then they get the gorgeous goal from Lotz. And then later on, they get a gorgeous goal from Sanheim. It was great hockey to watch. I have not been this hype for a Flyers team in a long time.
Really looking forward to the playoffs starting.
And you know what? Maybe, you know what would be really funny? You know what would be really funny here? What if I told you the Sixers embarked on this process where they're like, we're going to do a lot of losing. We're going to tank for draft picks. We're going to build and acquire assets, right? And what if the Flyers did that at the same time, still managed to make the playoffs
and
twice?
And are ahead of them?
And could, like, win a championship.
I said that to Devon today because I was here.
Oh, did you really?
The Flyers game, and I said, yeah, it's funny. We focused so much on what the Sixers were doing with their process, and in reality, the Flyers are doing the exact same thing. Well, they're not losing on purpose, though. That's
They still made the playoffs twice.
But rebuilding the farm system, drafting well.
And this is all without Nolan Patrick.
Yeah, I know,
who was
right?
the number two pick in the draft, who would have been a crown jewel of the process. Mm-hmm.
And by the way, they were lucky to move up to that spot.
Yeah, they got really lucky.
Yeah, and then you look at what they've been able to do because they moved on from their developmental coach.
Yeah, look at that. Oh, well,
that's crazy what happened.
Isn't this
parallels.
Funny? 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. When we come back, we'll jump a little bit more into the Sixers conversation. Ben Simmons looks like the injury is a little bit more serious than we originally anticipated. It was originally listed as day-to-day. Listening to Brett Brown yesterday, it did not give you exactly the biggest vote of optimism. We'll let you hear from Brett Brown in a little bit. And also, there's a story in New York. The pandemic, the shutdown has affected a tradition for many. Even in the Philadelphia area. We'll get to that story coming up. 610, wide open board for you if you want to get in. Bottom line is, here's the question we'll ask when we come back. I'll tease it for you right now. A very easy one. Will this injury to Ben Simmons save Brett Brown's job? I say absolutely not. It should not. We'll see what the Sixers say. We'll dissect when we come back here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.